Hey, it's great to be in church. Mike's already mentioned the fact, you know, being in the house of God is always great, regardless of what kind of weather you have outside. It reminds me that, you know, God is not confined to weather, and God is not confined to places, nor God is not confined to time. He always is ready to speak to His people when you and I gather together. When you read through the book of Hebrews, you're going to come to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, when you read down through that great list of people of faith, it's amazing. Every time I get into the book of Hebrews, whoever it was that wrote the book of Hebrews did us a favor by talking about those people down through the time who through faith did so very much. It is the hall of faith. And many times when I read that in my personal devotions, I find myself under conviction, because they seem to have so much faith, and sometimes I seem to have so little. But that's a danger, you know. We kind of hold them up as super saints, and yet all of us can have faith, and all of us can do the kinds of things that God can enable people to do. So as we read through Hebrews 11, we get through that great long list of people, and then we come down to verse 32. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, where the writer says, you know, I've given you all these various people, and if I had time, we could go along and say about these people. So we pick up our reading in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. Would you stand together as we look at God's Word? Hebrews 11, 32. And what more should I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. We like the first part, don't we? About all the conquering and women getting their dead back to life and, you know, all that stuff. We don't like that last part very much. Stoned and sawed in two and all the other things. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Great words, marvelous challenge for every one of us in the Kelloggsville Church of the Nazarene, first Sunday of April 2022. Thank you, and please be seated. When I was growing up as a teenager, I tried to play several sports. Now, I was not particularly good at baseball, though I did play Little League a few years. I could not run track very well. I'm certainly not built to jump hurdles or anything. And I wasn't very good at basketball. I'm still not, although I enjoy playing basketball once in a while. But the one sport in which I really excelled in high school was football. Now, growing up in Texas, If you could play football as a teen, then nothing else really seemed to matter. Even my grades sometimes, unfortunately. Because, you see, in Texas, football was king, and in those days, I could play football very well. And I learned many things while playing football. I learned how to block. I learned how to tackle the opposition. I learned how to read other teams' formations. I learned how to play as a team. And I learned very early on in football that it was much more enjoyable playing at home with the stands full of supporters than it was to play games on the road. Because when you played games on the road, most of the people in the grandstands there were threatening you with great bodily harm while you played. We call that home field advantage. Playing at home in front of your supporters gives or ought to give a team some advantage. Now, I have always noticed that the followers of Ohio State football feel much better about their chances of beating that team up north when we're playing in the Shoe down in Columbus. Now, I hasten to point out that the Bucks have had pretty good success in the past years wherever they have played them, last year, of course, being an anomaly, but we do like home field advantage. Now, as Christian men and women this morning, you and I need to understand we have home field advantage. In that we always have, through what we call the communion of the saints, we have a relationship with all those people who have gone on before us, and we enjoy the inspiration of the crowd. Now, the scripture this morning tells us that you and I have a course laid out for us. All of us have a course to follow, and all of us have a spiritual race to run. I cannot run your race. You cannot run my race. But all of us have a spiritual race to run. And the metaphor here is that life is a difficult race to run. And I think you and I would agree that it is. Now, it's very difficult to get across to some people. But once you really realize that and understand that, then you can begin to prioritize your life. And you can begin to determine what's really important and what is not, and that helps you see life and the race more clearly. And then life takes on a new and a deeper purpose and meaning once you and I as Christians understand we have a course, we have a race to run, but some people just have difficulty getting started. I remember the story, the old story of the football game between the big animals and the small animals. Now, at halftime, the big animals were ahead 72-0. And when they came out to start the second half, they said, "Come on, let's go beat those guys. At least let's beat them 150-0. Let's start a new record." So they came out and got the ball. They gave the ball to the tiger. And with a growl, the tiger hit the line. And the centipede stopped him cold. Remember what the centipede is? A little bug with 100 feet. Okay. That's very unusual. The lion said, "You know, that's very embarrassing. We've never been stopped like that before. Give me the football." So with a roar, you know, the lion got that ball, and the tiger got that ball, and he hit the lion. And when he did, the centipede stopped him in his tracks. Well, the rhinoceros said, "Get out of my way, boys. Give me the ball. We just can't have that." So the rhino, with all of his might and all of his power, hit the line, and the centipede stopped him in his tracks. And so they went over to the coach of the small animals, and they said, "You couldn't stop us in the first half. Where in the world was the centipede in the first half?" You ready for his answer? He was trying to get all his shoes on. Now, you see, in life, we have people who just seem to spend the first part of their life trying to get their shoes on. And the really sad part is we have people who will spend the last half or maybe all of their life failing to understand that we have a race to run, we have a goal, and we have an objective. And it's not really just a matter of coming to church on Sunday and singing a few songs and putting a little bit of money in the offering plate and listening to a sermon and going home and forgetting it until next week. Our race, our journey, our goal is to achieve Christ-likeness in this life. That's our challenge and that's our calling. Now, I want to remind us today that when the angel came to Simon Peter, when Peter was being held in a dungeon, Peter was sleeping between two guards. And when that angel woke him up, the angel set him free, and then the angel said this, "Put on your shoes, man. Put them on. Lace up your sandals, Peter. You're about to go somewhere because life goes somewhere. And sometimes we tend to forget that." I think about that woman that I read about, a lady who was in her late 80s. She lived down in Florida. She was having some physical difficulties. Finally, she received the bad news from the doctor. He told her that she had cancer of the bone. She had that cancer that had spread to her facial tissues and bones, and it spread terribly from there. And so the doctor said to her, "You know, we have to do not just radical, we have to do some dramatic surgery, and we have to do that in order for you to live." She said, "No, I'm not going to do that." He said to her, "But ma'am, you don't understand. If you don't have the surgery, you're going to die." And she thought for a moment and said, "You know, we did not come here to stay. We did not come here to stay." So let me ask you this morning, have you really realized that yet? That you and I did not come here to stay? We came to run one race. We did not choose it. It was chosen for us. It was laid out for us. And you and I must finish the race and finish the course. The psalmist reminds us that we are pilgrims. We're just passing guests. And like our fathers and our mothers, we're just passing through this world. We're just passing through. Paul said that this tent we live in is not to be our permanent abode. And when this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. But here, we do not have that. We have a tent. We're just passing through, and you and I are just transients in this world. And while we're passing through, we look at the Scripture and realize that we're not to handicap ourselves with anything that hinders us in the race. How does the text say it? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us." That word for setting aside means don't handicap yourself with all unnecessary stuff. If you know anything about horse racing, you know that you can handicap a horse. You do that by putting some extra weight on him that equalizes how much he weighs and how much all the horses carry. And the Bible reminds us that people are handicapped by the weight of sin. And it tells us, discard anything that impedes your progress. Now, Jesus said it very dramatically to us. He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Now, he was speaking symbolically, of course, but he meant to us, don't let anything stand between you and you finishing your spiritual race, between you and finishing your goal. Now, when he talks about a sin that clings, he's talking about a sin that is hard to part with. And some of the sin that is so very hard to part with are the things that have been done to us. Scars that we bear because of bad things people have done to us. The longer I pastored, the more I realized and the more I dealt with people who had all kinds of issues in their lives. People who had terrible scars. Physical abuse. Sexual abuse. Verbal abuse. Dealing with people who were children of alcoholics. Dealing with people who were children of divorce. Broken relationships. And if we don't let that kind of thing go, we will never finish the race. I think about that young man who came one day and said, Pastor, I want to go into the ministry. I feel like God is calling me to preach. So he went home and he told his parents about what he felt God wanted him to do, and they responded by opening the door to his closet, and stuff just kind of fell out of the closet there. And his parents said to him, look at that. Look at that baseball. Look at that football. Look at that soccer ball there. You are going to be good in all those things, but you're not good in anything, and you'll not be any good in the ministry either. Now, some people grew up with that kind of life, with sour, negative, critical people. Some grew up with sour, negative, critical parents who've done horrible things to their psyche. Maybe you did. Maybe this morning, even as I speak, you remember the words. You remember the actions. You remember the terrible scenes. You remember the abuse. And even as I speak, the memories burn deep down into your soul this morning. Somehow we have to find a grace that will help us heal that so that we can turn it loose and go on and move on and finish the race. Sometimes we need healing that comes when we get forgiveness for things that we have done. A lady wrote a letter once in which she talked about the fact that she had rebelled and she had run from God and she had lived her life as an atheist. And then one day, life, as life quite often does, life sort of fell in on her. And one night she came to the church with some of her relatives, and when the end of the service came and the altar call was given, she came to the altar. And as she came, she thought to herself, you know, I can't even pray to God with all that I've said and all that I've done and all that I've been. How can God ever care for me? But then she said, the minute that she knelt at that altar, the truth just flooded her being that God loved her and God would forgive her. And she just kind of turned it all loose. And when she did, she found peace and forgiveness and joy. And that night she came to Jesus Christ. The fact is, folks, that we cannot go on and run the course until we find forgiveness. And there are some things that are just weighing us down, and we have to let go of those things to run the race with perseverance. Now, that word perseverance means keeping on to the end in spite of difficulties. Keeping on to the end in spite of difficulties. You know, as well as I do, that life tests every one of us. All of us get tested in life. None of us is immune. And you and I can never rule in the kingdom until we have been tested through the test that life brings to us. That's how we develop character. That's the way you and I conform to the image of God. For it's only in those tests that we learn how to reach out, how we learn how to be dependent on God during those times. Sure, life tests us, but it tests every generation in life. My last pastor, of course, was Mount Vernon First Church. I pastored there 22 years. You can imagine, in 22 years, I heard some stories. I heard all kinds of stories in 22 years of pastoring. But you know, I was always intrigued. I was always moved in my spirit when I heard stories from some of the people there. Stories about the early days of the church. Now, you go there today, you see this great big magnificent building and all the property we have there and all that stuff. But I would hear stories of how people in the church, they would talk to me about days when it looked like they were going to have to close the doors of the church. And it looked that way because they just did not have the money to be able to keep the doors of the church open or enough money to operate the church. And I was always moved in my spirit when I heard how many faithful members back in those days borrowed money, how some of them actually mortgaged their homes in order to keep that church operating. And I think to myself, what a challenge they faced. And people today, and First Church in Mount Vernon is going to celebrate 100 years of being a church next month. I think, well, you know, people today enjoy so many, many things because of what they did back then. They really have a glorious past there. And I suspect that if I could go through this auditorium here this morning, you have some stories of times and places in this church where it looked like maybe things weren't going to go so well, or it might just have to close down, or whatever the stories are. And you have some stories, those of you who've been around, of the faithfulness of God through the difficult times of life where God has brought you through. But you and I have to live the past, relive the past, so that every new generation teaches us new duties, and every responsibility calls us to new loyalties and devotion. Every generation is tested. You see, Pastor Mike, how do we make it? How did they make it? Well, they made it just like you and I are going to make it in our day. When difficulties come, when testings come, they made it, and we're going to make it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. What it says in the Scriptures. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the one who carries us through. You see, Jesus has made the journey. Jesus mastered death. We're going to talk about that Easter Sunday. Jesus has marked the way before us. And when you and I keep our eyes on Him as our example and our source of strength, then we can complete the journey. And we celebrate the fact that we have a vast company in heaven, and every year that crowd gets new faces. And maybe for you this morning, during the last year or so, some of those new faces are your loved ones that are there. And you know, it really does make a difference when you know someone important is watching you. I love the story of the little boy who was practicing his piano lesson. Now, he was not enjoying the piano lesson one bit. When a salesman knocked on the door, it was summertime, there was just a little screen door there, and the little boy was in there. When the salesman knocked on the door, the little boy kept on practicing, and the salesman was looking right at him and knocked on that door again. Finally, the little boy turned his head and said, "What do you want?" And the salesman said, "Is your mother home?" The little boy resumed playing the piano and said, "What do you think? You think I'd be playing if she wasn't, you know?" You see, it really does make a difference when somebody's there and somebody's watching you when you're doing it. And what you and I celebrate today is that you and I are never alone. Because there is that company of heaven, also have their eyes on Jesus, and He's the exalted one. And God has delivered to Jesus the power and the authority to direct the end of the world. And the future of the world is in the hands of the one nailed at Calvary. He is in charge of the world, and He will bring that world to final conclusion, and He will help us run the race set before us. A few years ago in the country of Estonia, had a ferry boat that was going across there, and that ferry boat capsized, and over 900 people in that ferry boat drowned. And they had a great memorial service for them, and in that service, a great youth choir was there, and they sang, and as they sang, they carried lighted candles representing those that had died in that tragedy. And they sang an old spiritual song, and they sang it in English. They cried as they held those candles aloft, and they sang these words. O Lord, what a morning. O Lord, what a morning. O Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall. You can hear the trumpet sounding. You can hear the Christians shouting. O Lord, what a morning. When you wake up the world under the ground. And, O Lord, I'll be looking to God's right hand when the stars begin to fall. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm going to be looking there, because that's where the Savior is. And I want to be as close to Him as I can. And there's lots of people that I know that are already there. Keeping your eyes on us as we run the race. So I want to ask you this morning, how's the spiritual race going for you? Are you keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus? Are there things this morning hindering you as you try to make this spiritual journey that you need to get rid of so that you can run the race with victory? Could there be scars from the past? Could there be sins in the present? Could there have been somehow a distance that has come between you and God? You see, the question is, how are you doing in the test of life? Are you facing things that you never dreamed that you would face? Are you finding things that have entered your life that are problems and circumstances and people and situations that are just about to overwhelm you? Are you finding that your strength and that your resources are really not enough to meet the challenges that life is sending your way? The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that you and I can look to Jesus and find His strength and His grace sufficient for every test that we meet. And that being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we stand on home field advantage with a crowd that's cheering us on to finish the race with joy and victory. So let me ask you, how's the race going for you this morning? How's the spiritual journey going for you? How are things day by day as you just live in what I call the ruts of the regular? You know, when Monday morning rolls around and it's back to work and back to the same old grind. How are things going in your day-to-day living for Christ out there in the ruts of the regular? Are you looking to Him? Are you running the race? Are you finding victory and strength? And most of all, God's presence in the race. You see, it's not only that you and I want to make it for ourselves. We do. We have a course. We have a journey. We have a race laid out for us. And you and I need to run that race. And we need to make sure that we are up to date. But We also need to leave a legacy for those who are behind us, who are watching us, who are following us, who in many ways are depending on us to leave a legacy where they see us running successfully and see us running with joy and with victory. We need to leave that kind of legacy so that when they run their race, they can follow Christ as well. That's why the writer said these words. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave cause them to believe, and the life we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful. And as you and I run the race, as we journey with Christ, let's be ever faithful, running the race. Would you bow with me for a moment? Father, we gather here on Sunday morning. We've sung some songs that have reminded us of how great you are and who you are and what you want to be to us. We start this month of April looking forward to Easter Sunday and being able to celebrate the resurrected Christ who lives. And all of that comes into play as we gather here this morning and think about what you are and who you are. Knowing that as we leave this place and go to our homes, as we leave this place to go out to our Mondays, that we need you every moment of life as we run the race you've set out before us. Would you help us this morning to keep our eyes fixed on you? Would you help us this morning to draw strength and grace and help from a God who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, but to live lives running the race with joy and gladness and success. And if there are things this morning that are hindering us, help us somehow to find grace to lay them aside. There may be folks here this morning who've had things done to them they'll never tell anyone else. They need somehow your grace and your help to lay them aside, to find healing and strength to go on. We're very conscious of that, Lord, and we don't pass that by quickly. We know it's real. And so for that one or for those several today who's burning in their hearts, in their memories of the things that have been done to them, Would you help them find grace today? Begin a journey of healing. For those this morning, perhaps, who would say, Pastor Mike, there's things in my heart that have distanced me from God, things that I have done. May they find forgiveness and restoration so that they can run the race with joy and with a clear, free conscience as you live in their lives and help them day by day. And help us as a people to be able, Lord, to leave a legacy for those behind us, those that will come in, those who through the coming days and months and years who will come to faith here in this church to see in our lives something that will challenge them to run their race, to finish their journey, to keep their eyes on Christ as you have helped us do that in our journey. And for all of us, as we think about that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, help us to, with joy, walk in the light of your presence and be the people of God you want us to be, finishing the race with the presence and the power of your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you hit the road tomorrow, run the race and run it with the power of His presence in your life. We're all running it. Let's run it successfully with Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Now may the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ, that incredible love of God, that intimate fellowship of your Holy Spirit, Lord, fill us, go with us, and bless us all today as we go our way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord today.